In 2016, the BBC took a chance at creating a documentary on the most heated subject, one of the most heated debates in America the last 20 years. What really happened on September 11th, 2001? We figured it's time to take a show and just relax and enjoy your conversation after all of the doom and gloom of the climate change reports. And this was the perfect opportunity to do so. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be looking at 9/11, truth, lies, and conspiracies. Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them. Lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. So welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any information you can get, you know the deal. Is it worth your time? We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PacSync, a black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. You should go and check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Leave a review, leave a donation. Check out the Learning Center, new books, volunteer, donate, become a member, donate, you know, get involved, donate, tell a friend to donate, become a member and donate. Do whatever you can to help them, because they're doing whatever they can to help you. And you can do other things to help them, like going through the Smile Initiative for Amazon and making sure that they're your designated nonprofit when you make charitable purchases there. And there are lots of ways to get involved. So get involved and help them out. So this documentary, it starts with the conspiracies. And that was expected because it's in the title. So it starts with the conspiracies and the skeptics of the official story. It even has Dylan Avery in there. I forgot his name for a moment. It even had Dylan Avery in there, the guy who created Loose Change back in the early 2000s. I believe it was 2003 or maybe it was 2005. The Loose Change was a huge film at the time. Everybody I knew had watched it. Everybody I currently know has watched it and had an opinion on it. It was a huge topic right up there with Fahrenheit 9/11 and all these other films that chronicled the 9/11 attacks and that specifically called out the official government-backed report on what happened, as saying that this report doesn't make sense. So it had him in there. And it was interesting, you get to hear how he has grown over the years and whether or not he still holds some of those beliefs. But the documentary didn't just sit on the conspiracies like a lot of these documentaries do. It asked real questions that, in my opinion, should be asked, regardless of whether or not you assume the story is true or not. And it wasn't asked from a gotcha perspective. It was asked from a perspective of, okay, well, explain this to me because I don't understand. Funding, passports, all these types of questions and more were brought up during the course of this very brief 45-minute documentary. Now, the interesting angle of this documentary was that it actually spoke of the people who lost someone. It spoke to and it spoke of the people who lost someone in the event, and it spoke to them as survivors and real components of the story. It humanized the event more so than any of the other documentaries I've seen that come from the angle of the conspiracy, and there are a lot of them. It also spoke to the beef between the intelligence agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, and it had high-level officials to verify the ongoing issues between the agencies. And it also presented a rarely spoken of angle that the CIA hoped to recruit some of the hijackers as spies, which is why they didn't share the intel they had with the other intelligence agencies. And it spoke to some Middle Eastern questions that I've always had, that all the way up until recently, when a 28-page report was produced, and I think that was produced a couple years back, and it spoke of the report in the documentary. But, it, you know, and that report even didn't necessarily answer all of my questions appropriately. But why was Saudi Arabia spared from the criticism, even though a lot of the hijackers and the sponsors and the money, it seemed like when you track this thing back, was coming from Saudi Arabia? A lot of these people were Saudis. So it never quite made sense when you start looking at these terrorists and all these other things. Why was none of the why was Saudi Arabia always spared from American rage? And the documentary did a really good job of zeroing in on those questions and asking those questions. Now, the documentary is that this is the documentary that I had been waiting for, and I knew it would probably take a decade for it to come out after the event happened. This is the documentary where you finally have secret intel that's been released. It was secret at the time, it's been released. You have government officials who were government officials at the time. They're no longer government officials now. They're willing to talk. You have various agencies who are putting out statements now that might not have been putting out statements at the time. You have a timeline of events that's more refined now than you had at the time. And a lot of the questions that we had initially have simply been answered by the fact that time has passed, distance has been created, and people are now more comfortable or more willing to talk about what happened at that time than they were at that time. And the angle they took on it was something that I feel like is always an angle that's missed when you start talking about conspiracy theories, because one of the biggest problems with conspiracy theories is that conspiracy theories remove the human element from them. And I got to stop right here and say that I'm not saying conspiracies don't exist. I'm saying that a lot of the times what people label as a conspiracy is not actually a conspiracy. If it's right out in the open, no one's denying it or trying to hide it, that's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something, you know, unlawful or harmful. Is not a conspiracy is not a secret group doing something that nobody knows about because nobody cares to do the research. That those are two different things. If I'm operating out in the open and nobody nobody cares what I'm doing, I'm not engaged in conspiracy. I don't have a secret plan that I don't want anyone to know about. People just don't care about what I'm doing. And a lot of the times when people find this information on the internet, they find this information in various places, they immediately jump to conspiracy. If you found it in an open source environment, or if you found it in a book, or if you found it in official government documentation that hasn't been redacted, it hasn't been anything like that, 9 times out of 10 is not a conspiracy. At least it's not a conspiracy any longer, because now it's out in the open. Anybody can get to it. So the things out there that are true conspiracies are very, very small, very, very slim, because they're secret for a reason. And the other problem I have with conspiracy, a lot of conspiracy is, and this is one of the biggest problems with conspiracies, is the size of them. Look, the more people that are involved in something, the harder it is to keep quiet. And the more you try to keep it quiet and the bigger it gets, the more difficult that it becomes to keep it quiet, because the more profitable it becomes for somebody to speak out. So those two things kind of compound on each other to make it really difficult to say that something is a conspiracy that goes all the way to the top, because that means you have to keep all government agencies quiet. You have to keep all the leadership quiet at all times and in line. And if you're thinking about this logically, that is impossible to do. It's just not possible to do. A teacher in the classroom can't even keep all of their students quiet at one time. You know, you get 15 people in a room and it's damn near impossible to control all 15 of them to the degree necessary to carry on a lot of these conspiracies that people put forth as conspiracies. So again, I'm not saying that conspiracies aren't real, because I do believe, I believe in my fair share of conspiracies. And I'm not saying that nefarious things don't happen, because obviously they do. But I'm saying a lot of the times people like to label things as a conspiracy that isn't a conspiracy. And people like to label things that are nefarious as conspiracy, when the fact is that it's just an openly horrible situation. And this documentary does a pretty decent job at outlining the fact that it was a conspiracy. But I think one of the things we have to do when we begin to talk about things like the 9/11 situation or the moon landing or all of the other things that people question, the very obvious thing people like to do is poke holes into the presented story, the presented narrative. It can't be this because there's a hole here, and here. And a lot of the times people poke those holes without even doing the necessary research to try to understand with totality the nature of the thing that they're disbelieving. So you'll have people that disbelieve the moon landing, but don't understand the science or the mathematics involved in rocket propulsion or escaping the gravity or anything like that. So you'll have people that disbelieve flat earth or disbelieve the round earth scientific fact, but they don't understand the mathematics involved in the theory that they're pushing. They don't understand how the impact and the implications that a flat earth would have and how that would change the world as we know it and as we live in it. So that's one of the biggest problems. And we as black people, we are very much prone to conspiracies. And even with the 9/11 thing or with the flat earth thing or with the moon landing thing, I'm not advocating one way or the other. And I'm not stating how I believe one way or the other. I'm simply saying that if we believe something, we have to be able, we have to understand what it is we're saying before we begin to peddle it, especially if we're peddling it in public. And that's one of the major situations that I have with all of these things, like the 9/11 situation. And that's why it was wonderful that they humanized it, because you get to talk to the survivors. A lot of people will say, like, you saw the same thing with Sandy Hook and the same thing with the Parkland kids. And you see the same thing anytime. Like, I've seen people saying the same thing about when a black person is killed in the black community, how this is a staged event and people are crisis actors and things of that nature. I think that's a very sad, scary place to be, where if you weren't there, you don't believe it. That's a very narrow place to be. And we've got to avoid being there at all costs. This documentary, I'm sure for those people that are familiar with the 9/11 situation and that have been following it and that are true critics of it and skeptics of it, this documentary won't present much new evidence for you, because I'm not even a hardcore follower of that theory. And it didn't present a whole lot new for me. But again, it did present some new high-level officials speaking out that I hadn't heard speaking out before. And the most significant thing it did for me was it humanized the event. And I think as a people, that's something that we need to continue to try to do as we face various situations, because a lot of the times we get caught up in dehumanizing our own communities and ourselves. We got to remind ourselves and stay cognizant of the fact that there are people involved in these situations. And they might not be crisis actors. But another thing, another angle I wanted to hit on with this was asking better questions. And I know I started in this and then I went off on a tangent. But for me, the first question is never, like, we'll take the 9/11 thing since we're talking about that. The first question for me was not who did this. The first question for me was, why did it happen? and you explore all of the different whys that are out there. Why? And when you're exploring the why, the who will be answered by exploring the why. And far too often, when we have situations like this come up, the very first question that's asked is who. And the problem with asking who first is that once you discover the who, or once you begin to solidify who you believe the who is, then the why begins to be filled out automatically. And in my opinion, that's a backwards way to do things, because now you're creating a narrative that fit the people that you believed did it, instead of finding out what happened and allowing the events themselves to tell you who did it. And so with all of the stories that we have coming up, that's one of the biggest takeaways for me with all of these stories of conspiracy and harm and this, that, and the third. Stop asking who did it first. Start asking, why did this happen first? Ask the why. The why will lead you to the who. That's just my opinion. And that's one of the biggest takeaways for me, because I think that's one of the biggest reasons there are so many different conspiracies surrounding the 9/11 event. Is that everyone is talking about who did this? Well, if the Iraqis did it, then it's payment for, you know, Kuwait. And if the Saudis did it, then it's this. And if the U.S. government did it, then it's this. And you present all of these different scenarios and narratives to describe and to explain why this person did it. And what's missing in that is the actual events of what happened, and a critical analysis of those events. So overall, I give this documentary 3 stars. It could have been better. They could have gone a little bit deeper in answering some of the questions that they asked. They could have gone a little bit better in allowing the people that are skeptical. Well, they gave the people that are skeptics plenty of time to talk, but they didn't give the people that are believers and the high level officials a chance to respond, enough time to respond, in my opinion. They didn't give them enough screen time. They also didn't get very deep into the engineering and the plausibility of the explanations, which I know they mentioned that a lot of these things have been disproven. A lot of the theories put forth by the skeptics have been disproven. The documentary itself could have touched on some of the ways that it has been disproven, and it wouldn't have added any more than 10 minutes to the film. The film was only 45 minutes. Boosting it up to an hour to add a little bit more detailed content, I think, would have been extremely beneficial. But other than that, it was a nice little overview of what happened, of where we stand now on both sides of the fence. And so with that, I think it did its job. It did its job decently. I am somewhat I am somewhat of a BBC junkie, if you will. I do like BBC documentaries as a whole, so there might be some bias there. Even when the BBC documentaries express bias, and I can fully admit and accept and say that there are a lot of BBC documentaries that display egregious amounts of bias. But this was a decent, very brief piece of work on 9/11 and where we stand 15 years after the event happened, when the documentary was presented, was 15 years after the event had happened. So with that, thank you guys for tuning in. I see you next week. Got some more bombshells, some more in-depth deep shows coming over the next few weeks. But I just want to take this show to just relax and have a conversation and maybe ramble a little bit. So if this show seems a little bit more disjointed or a little bit less focused than a lot of the other shows do, that's because I didn't want the show to be the way the shows normally are. I wanted it to be more just a conversation, just thinking, just, you know, me trying to have more of a conversation with you guys. So I apologize for those of you that didn't enjoy that. And for those of you that did enjoy it, you know, happy you enjoyed it. But I will see you next week.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trust, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. I also want to encourage you guys to head over to the website, www.freedomtrainnetwork.com. You can head over there to the website, gain access to all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network, including this one. You can access to old shows, new shows. You should also check out the Freedom Train app. You can find it in the Google Play Store. If you research Google Play or research Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Presents or Freedom Train Network, you'll find the app there and you'll see the Choo Choo Train. That is our trademark Choo Choo Train for the Freedom Train. You can get all of the shows right there on your cell phone. Notification whenever we drop anything, or maybe we just want to see a notification saying hi. So you should definitely go and get that app. And you should also take a listen to our live internet radio streams throughout the weekend. We're dropping lectures, we're dropping shows, we're dropping all kinds of interesting things on the weekends. So definitely take advantage of that. I want to thank you guys again for supporting us. And as always, we appreciate you. We will see you next week. This is the Freedom Train Network Presents Lessons from the Screen.